Welcome to the Off the Charts Football Podcast. We are going throwback edition today. We've got Aaron Schatz here, formerly of Football Outsiders, always in our hearts of Football Outsiders, but now with FTN Fantasy. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hey, it's good to be on with you again, like old times. Yeah.
And joining us from Sports Info Solutions R&D team, we have the one and only Bryce Rossler. Bryce, how's it going?
Not well. Potty training a puppy is a nightmare.
I've been there with that one. I haven't potty trained humans, but I've been there with that one. We got our producer, Justin Stein, here as always. And we want to dive right in because we've got the season rapidly approaching here. So we're getting one of our good friends and experts, Aaron, on the show with us. And Aaron, what do you say we go around the league, talk a little bit about what's going on from all the different divisions and see kind of where the SIS projections, where the Aaron Schatz projections, how those differ, where they're similar, and what else we ever find interesting within there.
Yeah, even though I did leave Football Outsiders this summer, we did do our almanac like we usually do. So that's what these projections come from. And it's called the FTN Football Almanac 2023 this year. And you can get it on Amazon or at ftnfantasy.com. So I did all my projections like usual. And I've got like where I differ from the market on all these teams. And they're interesting to talk about.
So in case you're looking for him, now you know where he's been. All right, let's jump right into it. Let's start off in the NFC East. Because I think right away, you said you went, your projections were a little bit against the grain there. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of guff from people for this one. We even talk about it in the actual chapter. We have to explain why Dallas is so high. Dallas actually has the highest mean win projection in our simulations, very slightly ahead of San Francisco. And everybody remembers their bad playoff losses from the last 2 years. And kind of ignore two really, really good regular seasons where Dallas was 12-5 both years. And they were first in DVOA 2 years ago and sixth last year. And then they went out and added Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore to fill two of the biggest holes on the roster. I know those guys are a little bit older, but still, I don't understand why people don't think Dallas is going to be one of the top teams in the league. Like, you can argue with me about whether Dallas or Philadelphia will be better, but you can't argue that Dallas should be one of the top teams.
Yeah. So I want to get to like breaking that down a little bit, because based on what I see, I would say, yeah, I think the Cowboys are a top three team in the NFC, along with the Eagles and the Niners. And our model absolutely has them going out of this world at 14.5 wins, the Eagles rather, whereas the Cowboys are just at 8 wins. And sort of,
now you have the Cowboys so low. I'm not shocked you have the Eagles so high. Because look, the Eagles do have a ton of talent and were great last year. Where do the Cowboys come out so low?
That was part of what perplexed each of us. Like when we did the win total over-unders, Bryce went over on the Cowboys, even though the win total projection was so low. I don't know what it is that our projections were picking up there specifically that made it sort of not like the Cowboys as much. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think the Eagles should be ahead of them. But I think it's a lot closer than that. And then obviously the rest of the division, I don't think we think much of.
We have the Eagles taking a little bit of a step back on defense, little plexiglass principle, because they improved so much on defense last year. And they have a little bit of a harder schedule. And that's what moves them behind Dallas. Yeah, the Giants, you know, were a bit of a fluke last year. I do think Brian Daboll is a great head coach, but it's going to be hard to imagine they're going to do the same thing again. We have Washington higher than the market, but still likely to have a losing record. We think their defense should be excellent, but their offense, you just can't put any expectation on a fifth round draft pick with one game of experience.
Yeah, I have some just like franchise concerns there, just based on sort of where they're at in what'll be a big teardown in a lot of ways that's sort of inevitable. But yeah, that defensive line is so good. It might be the best defensive line in the league or it's in the conversation with Eagles and some other teams.
Yes.
Bryce, where do you come out on this Eagles versus Cowboys?
So it doesn't surprise me that the consensus is generally low on the Cowboys because McCarthy's the head coach, which I think that's fair. I think the unfair component of it is that Dak is undeservedly scrutinized because he wears a star on his helmet. I think people tend to underrate him. when he's healthy, he's easily a top 10 guy in the league, if not closer to the top five.
I heard people today debating Dak Prescott versus Derek Carr.
And Dak easy.
So look, I think I like Derek Carr more than most people, but I don't think it's even close. Like I think that's a slam dunk Dak Prescott, right?
Yeah, that's
No, the hard argument is who's the best quarterback in the entire NFC, Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts? That's the tough argument. But again,
I don't think that's a tough argument. I think Dak is better than Hurts.
I mean, I thought
I don't think it's close.
Hurts was more valuable last year, I think. But if you look, obviously, Prescott has a much longer track record of being
good. Yeah, Hurts was valuable last year. I think Hurts has some limitations that Philadelphia has done very well to work with.
I agree.
I like the leadership. I like the deep ball ability. I like the running ability.
I think he's kind of like, he might be at the top of how we picture like his value. He might be sort of peaking in what his value could be in terms of an NFL quarterback.
The only thing that makes me apprehensive to agree there is that, I mean, even since he was a freshman in Alabama, Hurts has improved year in and year out.
Right.
And as an insane work ethic by all accounts, I wouldn't discount him getting better. But I think for me, there's some dissonance between the value and the production last year and what you actually see on film. I think he was elevated quite a bit by the talent surrounding him as well. I don't think it's really a contest between him and Dak at this point.
Let's keep it moving around the NFC. So it sounds like we've got two sort of consensus contenders there and two probably not. Let's go over to the NFC North. What did you predict there, Aaron?
This is where I think we're going to be very different from consensus, except on the Detroit Lions. We have Detroit as the number one team in the division. We have Green Bay higher than the market by a lot, and that might be because it's just hard to project Jordan Love because he's got experience, but he doesn't have experience.
Yeah.
Well, we do think their defense will improve, and they have the number 30 schedule. And they're in a really easy division because we are not high on Minnesota or Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, our model pretty much agrees with that. Very low on the Packers, the Bears, and the Vikings, but loves the Lions. Has them up at 13 wins, which seems unrealistic to me.
Wow, you have a much wider range.
Oh, yes. And we should note that our projections are based on simulations and are sort of not meant to be. They're a little bit more volatile than what you would see in like a betting market.
Yeah, whereas ours are the opposite. Ours are more conservative than...
Yeah, so you have the ability to have the Eagles with 14.5 wins here. So in a way that even I'm like, well, I'm not going to bet on 14.5.
So you agree on Detroit. Minnesota and Chicago, like I realize, see, Green Bay is actually the team that our mean projection is the higher than Vegas, more than any other team. But I don't like really talking about them because I feel like their variance is so high because we don't know what Jordan Love is. That if you asked me who I'm putting money on in overs, I probably wouldn't put it on the Packers. But I'm very confident about our Vikings and Bears under the Vegas numbers. I mean, everybody who listens to this knows analytics, and so everybody knows that Minnesota last year was nowhere near as good as their record, but like, I don't think any stat disliked Minnesota more than DVOA did. So we're going to have them lower than anyone else. And then they went out and lost talent this offseason.
Yeah, they won a bunch of very close games, which they're due for some regression in. I'm with you on the Vikings and the Bears, and unless... I think the Bears' best chance at a good season is Justin Fields has an insane breakout year and goes supernova, but I don't know how likely that is.
I still think they're like a wild card team.
Their defense sucks. This is the stat I've been quoting about Justin Fields, right? Imagine that in order to be an MVP candidate, Justin Fields runs so well that all he has to be is a slightly above average passer to be an MVP candidate because he's so good at running. Do you know how many quarterbacks in the last 42 years have been as bad passers as Fields was in his first 2 years and then became above average in a qualifying season in the third year?
Oh, it's going to be like two.
This isn't one actual trivia.
This is just me giving an answer. It's Jeff George 1993, and that is it. Like people think, oh, Josh Allen had this big jump. Lamar Jackson had this big jump. Fields' passing numbers from the last 2 years are much worse than Josh Allen's second year or Lamar Jackson's first year, especially because of all the sacks that he takes. It would be really something for him to suddenly become an above average passer. He will improve. And there's no question he will improve. He can't be as bad as last year, especially with DJ Moore around. I just don't think he'll improve that, much.
Bryce, I want to ask you, as a resident Lion love-hate relationship, is there a path where they're like really contenders, like Eagles and Cowboys contenders? Or is this some sort of a ceiling on this team, in your opinion?
There's definitely a ceiling. I think the offense, even with Goff, should be pretty good. The offensive line is very good. They've got some good skill position players. The defense is pretty concerning to me, particularly the cornerback position. It's hard to see them making a lot of noise if they were to get to the playoffs, just because it's not like this offense is led by a top five quarterback and they can be the Chiefs and just smoke everybody and put up 35 points a game, not care that much about their defense. Like, there's a ceiling on the offense with Goff. I know he had a productive year last year, but I keep saying it. We do this song and dance with Goff and guys like him, like Jimmy Garoppolo. Every year they have like a productive year and we think they're actually a player, and they're not.
So you're saying basically that you think they can win a bunch of games, but when it comes to the teams that they'll really have to beat, the true contenders, they're not going to be able to outscore teams because they're not either elite enough offensively or sort of non-porous enough defensively. They don't have the right mix there.
They can score points, but the defense is more concerning to me than anything else. I like Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, quite a bit. Again, I like the skill position talent. I like the offensive line. It's not that I don't think they can put up points in the playoffs. It's just that I'm not banking on Jared Goff and the defense to make a deep run. I see the path for them in the regular season. I agree that it's a weak division. I get that, but I'm always gonna punt on Jared Goff. And
we have their defense as slightly above average. But I will admit, when you look at the roster, you're like, yeah, the defensive line is pretty meh. The cornerbacks are pretty meh. It looks like average at best, you know?
So I think probably what yours is picking up on, I know what our model picked up on, was that the defense was so historically bad over the first half of last season. When you look at the second half of last year, they really, really weren't that bad at all. They were a pretty middling defense over the second part of the year. And sort of our projections model cares a lot more about those recent games than the ones that are further on. So I think
it's interesting because that's actually not a part of my model. I don't do first half, second half splits. There's some other, I'd have to open up the spreadsheet and look, but there's some other reasons why it thinks that they're going to improve a little bit. Some of it is defensive players drafted high. The system thinks that basically defensive players drafted high are more predictable in their first year than offensive players drafted high. So the defense gets a little credit for drafting Branch and Campbell.
Right. Very interesting. I don't know. They've made some moves there where they tried to fill some holes defensively. But yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm not. That's not the side of the ball I'm betting on when it comes to the Lions. Aaron, do you see them?
I don't think they're going to be Super Bowl contenders, but in a weak NFC, they look like the best team in their division.
Speaking of a weak NFC, let's go to the NFC South. What can you tell us about that division?
All right, here you go. This is my other out-on-a-limb projection. The NFC South will send two teams to the playoffs, Atlanta and New Orleans, over teams that are better than but have harder schedules. The schedule strength, based on our projections, for Atlanta and New Orleans, there is such a gap between Atlanta and New Orleans and the rest of the league. Their schedules are so easy. If you look at the quarterbacks they have to face, the hardest quarterback that those teams face is Trevor Lawrence. And then Atlanta has to face Aaron Rodgers. And the next hardest is Kirk Cousins. And then you look at the rest of their schedule and it is so easy. So I think Atlanta's defense can improve. They added a lot of talent in this offseason. We know New Orleans had our good defense already. I think the offenses can be not that bad, which would make these teams playoff teams given the strength of their schedule.
Yeah. So we all think the Bucs stink, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I think we're probably higher on the Panthers than you are, Aaron.
Yeah. Leave me out of this. I'm not high on the Panthers at all.
I think when you look at the division from a high level, I think the Saints have to be in pole position because they were sort of like the most complete team, and they have on paper the best quarterback situation for this year. They're sort of, I don't think they're like sky high in terms of like their upside, but they're probably in that pole position, not having a rookie or second year quarterback like the other two teams that we think would be in contention with them are. I think that the Panthers probably have the best defense, which is why I kind of think that they're closer. But after one preseason game, I'm already starting to come off of that because it was so brutal for them in terms of their ability to protect the passer. But with the Falcons, I found it interesting, Aaron, you mentioned their defense because I don't have a lot of faith in their defense. I feel like they're built from the safeties out, and I've never seen a defense built like that before.
Well, I mean, the defensive line is Onyemata, Jarrett, and Campbell. Unless Calais Campbell gets old all of a sudden, that's a pretty good defensive line.
He is old. There's no all of a sudden.
Right, but I mean, all of a sudden plays old.
I think we've seen kind of a decline from him the past couple years. He's still a solid player, but he's not what he was.
You'll be rotating defensive linemen anyway. But yeah, as far as a front line group, I think that's a really good one. But they don't scare me in terms of their ability to sort of like get after the passer. I don't know. I've really never seen a defense built like this from where they're built like a baseball team, kind of like you want your best defenders up the middle.
Interesting. Well, I'm a believer. Our system's a believer that they can improve on defense and not have a defense as good as New Orleans, but a good defense.
And then the skill positions offensively are outrageous. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a big question mark on offense is Ritter. He improved down the stretch last year, but I don't think he's particularly inspiring at this stage. But the offensive line is pretty good. Matthews, Lindstrom, McGarry are all pretty solid players. Then, like Matt said, you've got Bijan Robinson at the running back position. You got Drake London. You got Kyle Pitts. You have some nice role players like Cordarrelle Patterson. And I believe in Arthur Smith as an offensive coach. I think they can make some noise on offense this year, provided that Ritter is somewhat competent.
I'm trusting Ritter after four games more than I'm trusting Howell after one game. It's not that much different of a sample. But I know, Terry McLaurin, but golly, that Atlanta personnel is pretty awesome, including the offensive line.
Yeah, you could think if Arthur Smith could make Tannehill look decent, I think he could do so with Ritter. That's my Tannehill hatred coming out. Okay. As much as we could see two teams making the playoffs in this division, we don't think we're talking about legitimate Super Bowl contenders here, do we?
Nope. We're talking about those teams that lose the home game in the first round. We're talking.
All right. Let's head out west. What can you tell us about your projections for the NFC West, Aaron?
Love San Francisco. Higher on Seattle's defense and lower on their offense than the market and then people, conventional wisdom generally is. And I think we may be a little wrong about that. We probably should be higher on their offense and lower on their defense. The Rams and Arizona suck. My only feeling is that Arizona does not suck quite as bad as people think they do. 4.5 is a really, really low number. That's really low for a preseason over-under. But
it's really low, especially because when you asked about who the best quarterback in the NFC was, I kind of like went through each team in my mind a little bit. And I was like, are we sure Kyler Murray's not like in that conversation?
If he comes back for the second half of the year, he might. I mean, yeah. I mean, he declined last year, but he could bounce back to what he was the year before. He might be in that conversation, in which case, if he comes back for the second half of the year, they're going to win more than 4.5 games.
Yeah. See, my thing with them is, I mean, and we'll talk about the Texans later on the other side of it, but I don't think that the Cardinals really have any reason to try to win games this year. I think,
but it is hard to tell that to football play. Like,
oh no! I think it's an organizational tank. I don't think anybody on the field is not trying to win, not even in the coaching staff.
Right. I think they're trying, and I think they're going to trip their way into six wins.
It's possible, and it's probably more likely than not. If you really like,
yeah, 4.5 is really low.
But if you do start off the season and you think the Kyler Murray-less team gets off to a rough start, it's hard to even imagine what reason you would play Kyler Murray at any point, really, to that point. So I think maybe that number kind of bakes that in a little bit.
Well, I think the reason to play Kyler Murray is because you have to make a very big decision, which is, do you trade Kyler Murray and use a top pick on a quarterback? Or do you believe Kyler Murray can still become a top 7, top 8 quarterback and you take
Oh, I think he would be gone. I think
these two other guys are
getting reset after what happened with their GM last year and some of the ickiness that happened off the field.
Don't even play him and he's gone.
I think so, if I had to guess. But I understand that betting under 4.5 is not good if we're talking about NFL games and unpredictable outcomes as a month from now.
That's really low.
The caveat here is that I'm not a contracts guy, and I also don't have any sources to like say they wouldn't do this. But even trading Kyler Murray with the contract they just gave him seems really, really difficult. If post 6-1 trade, $13 million dead cap in 2024, $33 million dead cap in 2025, that seems difficult to do if you're Arizona. Unless you're just punting on the next 3 years.
It erases the advantage of having a rookie quarterback because you have all that Murray on your cap where you would have other players.
I think
I can see it, but that still seems like a really hard pill to swallow.
I think that it has to come back down. It comes back down to how the organization feels about it. They believe that he could be the best quarterback in the NFC. Then I think, then it's all, you try to make him the centerpiece of your restart. But I think if you determine that he's not the future of your organization, then I think you got to bite the bullet at some point. And like $30 million quarterback position, modern NFL, we're not even talking about that much. Like, it's not that debilitating. All right. Anyway, on a more positive note.
AFC. Let's hit the AFC. Yeah, that's positive.
Out east again?
Yeah.
Home of your New England Patriots.
Who are very boring and average.
Boring and average, and by the odds, the bottom of the division. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, pretty much. I love Buffalo. Buffalo is my Super Bowl pick. They have our number one projected defense. They're adding talent to an already great defense. They're getting guys back from injury like Micah Hyde. They've got a good offense as well. It's not as good as Kansas City. It's not as good as Cincinnati. But overall, I really like Buffalo. We like the Jets.
We've got them at 12.5 also. So that would be 12.5 wins. So we like them too. Let's think about that just for a second, though, because one thing that I've really liked about their offseason is that they've shown this sort of like clear commitment to not just making it the Josh Allen show. And like when I think about the narrative of this year and how we're looking back at it in the future, it could definitely be one where I see Josh Allen won the Super Bowl because he had the offense kind of built more to take the load off of him so that he could help elevate something, the in-structure stuff, as opposed to just being all out of structure Josh Allen stuff. Counterpoint is it all fell off the rails because he and Steph Diggs' relationship.
I don't know what's up there, man. Who knows?
So I could really see it going in either direction, but I agree with you. Like on the whole, they should be really good. And then their defensive line is just, we talked about three players on the Falcons defensive line. I think they got like eight that are legitimate, like starting level players that they just rotate in there.
They're really good. The Bills are really good, like on both sides of the ball. I just feel like they're just a really strong team and they have good coaching.
Yep.
I agree. The Bills are good. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they went to the Super Bowl. But as much as I hate to say, like, I really like Miami's chances at winning the AFC East this year. Their defense got really good. I think as long as Tua's healthy, and I'm not a big believer in Tua, but I think the way that offense is constructed and some of the personnel they have, they're going to put up points.
We have Miami lower than the market.
Really?
Yeah, Tua is very unlikely that he's going to hit 13 yards per completion again. Like, people just don't do that two straight years. And the defense is good, but I think everybody is expecting Vic Fangio to come in and snap his fingers, and all of a sudden they're awesome. And Vic Fangio does not have a history of doing that. Like, some of his teams have been bad on defense in the first year or two until he really installs things and things really get going and he gets the players thinking. So, I think the Miami defense will be good, but I don't necessarily believe that they're going to suddenly be great.
I don't know that it's like a question of getting the players he wants. Like, they've got some really good personnel on defense, too. Like, Raekwon Davis is really good. Christian Wilkins is good. Jalen Phillips is a rising pass rusher. I like both their linebackers. I thought David Long was a great addition last year. Jerome Baker's solid. They also have Chubb as their other pass rusher.
Right, and Holland at safety. No, there's a lot of talent here. But it wasn't a great defense last year.
And here I am in between you two guys, because on one hand, I think that the talent is really good, and I think that the coaching on the defensive side of the ball last year was very questionable. So I want to support Bryce's point here. And I do think there's upside there. But on the other hand, I think you bring in a Ramsey because you think he can help kind of install the scheme from on the field and like sort of from the inside out. And with Ramsey being out and this defense going from like, we're just going to like play cover zero when we get into a crunch to something that's where they're going to be like passing off zone coverage assignments and things like that. I think that there could be a learning curve is the aspect there. So probably, and offensively, I think so on both sides of the ball, it's like you could see Tua being what he was last year, staying healthy, Mike McDaniel, great, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Wade Phillips transforms this defense that was underperforming, but now he's got the better sum of all the parts. Or you could see it just not gelling on defense still, and Tua's injured in week one, and this is all of a sudden a big miss of a year.
I will also say this goes for the Dolphins and the Bills, but also the Jets and the Patriots. By our projections, the four hardest schedules in the league are the four AFC East.
Makes sense.
I think these teams are good enough that two of them can make the playoffs, but it's going to be real hard for three.
That definitely makes sense. So they play against which NFC division? The East?
I don't have it in front of me. I believe.
Yeah, so that only includes the Eagles and the Cowboys.
AFC West.
Yeah.
AFC West, yeah.
So that includes the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Chiefs. Yeah, I can see how that got hard.
Where do you guys have the Jets compared to the Dolphins?
We like the Jets. We have the Jets higher. We have the Jets in about where the market does. I think, you know, Rodgers will not be what he was 2 years ago, but he also will be better than he was last year. And their defense is really interesting because of the fact that they were so, so healthy, which would seem to indicate a regression. But they had very few turnovers, which would seem to indicate improvement this year. So there's some really interesting trends that go against each other with the Jets defense. They're going to have more injuries, but they're also going to have more takeaway.
Yeah, I think they're pretty strong defensively. It's hard to really find weaknesses along the different levels there. And I agree with what you just said there that, okay, yeah, if Sauce Gardner is injured, if Quinnen Williams is injured, then yeah, it's a different defense. But if they have a decent health luck, especially from those two players, then I think the turnover luck should actually go into their favor more. And then
right, yeah,
you can really see the situation where they're doing really well. So our modeling is kind of interesting. We're actually low on the Jets. And when I think a little bit of that is just how much their schedule affected running the simulations. But also because they were so bad offensively last year, it's hard to properly measure how inserting a competent quarterback might actually impact the other 10 positions on offense. And also, Rodgers was not really Rodgers of the last, you know,
right,
2 years before, the MVP Rodgers last year. So even when we do something, I mean, it's not like we're putting in a Mahomes-level player like we might have been if we had done this a year ago. So we still end up a little bit lower on them, even though I'm with you. Like, if the turnover luck gets even better for the defense and the Rodgers thing works out as well as it could, then yeah, they're a contender. So I actually think we could have three contenders in this division, which was, I think, as many as we had in the entire NFC.
Yeah, basically, we had three teams ahead of everybody in the NFC. I mean, somebody will surprise in the NFC and be the fourth contender. But yeah, there are more Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. Like, if Miami was in one of those NFC divisions, they would do much better.
For sure.
Or the Jets. In your projections, the Jets. In my projections, Miami. Either way, if they were in an NFC division, things would be better.
Oh, yeah. How the tables have turned in that division from the Patriots just dominating all those years. Now three tough teams making life hard on the Patriots. Let's go to the AFC North. Is it the Bengals and everybody else there or what?
No. Best division in the game. We have all four teams with at least 9 wins. Average at least 9 wins. We are very high on the Browns. Now, I'll admit the reports from Browns camp have not backed us when it comes to Deshaun Watson getting his groove back. But we're sort of predicting that Deshaun Watson gets his groove back.
It's hard to imagine him not at least somewhat getting his groove back. Us two, we have everybody over 500 in this division, with the Browns winning 10.5 games based on our numbers. But for us, it is the Bengals pacing the crowd there. Sort of interesting to think about how Deshaun Watson and the Browns season might play out.
I mean, to me, it's just an issue of sample size. We have 3 years of Kevin Stefanski running good offenses with bad quarterbacks. And we have a whole career of Deshaun Watson being good. And then we have six bad games last year. And what are you going to believe in, those two big samples or those six games at the end of last year? I mean, maybe those six games at the end of last year are telling us a lot more than we think, but I would rather trust the larger samples.
I generally tend to agree with you there, although I do hope that maybe in some karmic way, the Jimmy Haslams find a way to slip up again. It's a really strong defense that they have too. When you look at it, just like player by player, they should be pretty good. See if the some of the parts can be there.
Yes, agreed. They will be better on defense this year. Absolutely. So we actually have them slightly ahead of Cincinnati, even though Cincinnati comes out as a better team because of the schedule difference between the two teams.
Interesting. Bryce, how do you see this division playing out? Are you with the SIS model on Cincinnati? Or are you more on the Browns? Or are you going to come out of left field with the Ravens or the Steelers here?
I think it's probably still the Bengals. As you guys said, if Deshaun Watson rebounds, I can see the Browns really being good. I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson. I think the Ravens getting Monken this offseason is going to be huge for him. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Ravens make some noise. But I think most times the Bengals win this division if you play it out. But the other two, I can definitely see winning it if some things go right for them. The Steelers, I think less so. The Steelers will be better this year, I think. But I think they're pretty clearly the fourth team in that division, even if they're not necessarily a bad team.
Yeah, but still good. I mean, we have all these teams as above average. You have all these teams as above average. Like, this is a really good division.
I find it really hard to get on board with mediocre or bad quarterbacks. And I think Kenny Pickett falls into that bucket. I like a lot of their roster. Getting TJ Watt back is going to be huge for them. Love Minka Fitzpatrick, one of the best safeties in the league. Cam Hayward is really solid. I'm interested to see how Joey Porter does for them this year as a rookie. Also love George Pickens, but I'm less sold on them as a whole. They've got some nice pieces, but as a whole, I don't see them being near the rest of the teams in the division, and I'm less sold on them being like a for sure above 500 team than you guys are.
Well, certainly not for sure, but yeah, I think they're an average team with an easier than average schedule, and I think it should work out.
Well, if we do believe in good quarterback play, and we do believe that generally offensive play is the more predictable thing, are we all kind of sleeping on the Ravens a little bit? I know we're all saying they're going to be good, so I'm not trying to say anybody said the Ravens stink. But I look at our model, and it was actually lower on the Ravens than I would have thought. And this is a sort of offensive line where they can pound people, and they totally redid their receiver group.
It's definitely possible projections can't pick up the change because it's hard to pick up. Like, subjectively, I think we all feel the offense had gotten stale and the new coordinator is a real improvement. Projection systems can't pick that up because overall, usually, learning a new system means taking a little bit of a step back, all of the things being equal. And it's hard to put in a, hey, the offense had gotten stale variable. You know, Greg Roman sucked at this point. There's no variable for that. We could be underestimating how good the Ravens offense is going to be. Absolutely. Even though I have them as a winning team. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree with your point before. This is a fun division. Should be super competitive. The old black and blue AFC North. Okay, let's go down south to a division that decidedly stinks compared to this one.
No disagreement from me. Jags all the way.
Jags all the way. Sounds like chalk, but I dare you to find somebody who disagrees with it. Let's talk about the Texans, because I actually want to make the case, going to flip the head, like I mentioned before, on the Cardinals, that I think that the Texans, I put some stock in that they traded away their first round pick, in that they're basically going to be trying extra to win this year, because it would be so catastrophic for them to lose. Not to say it's impossible. We've seen it in the past.
I feel like there's no extra. They're going to be trying hard against a bunch of other teams that are trying. Everybody tries hard.
Everybody tries hard.
Except for a couple of teams that shut it off near the end of bad seasons. It's the NFL. I don't think they're going to be trying any harder than anyone else.
I'm with Aaron here. I like the secondary. Offense, not inspiring. CJ Stroud, I believe he can become a good quarterback in the long term. Not sure what you get year one out of him. Don't love the skill group that they have. I'm kind of out on the Texans this year. Long term, Sure. I think D'Amico Ryans should be a good head coach. I think they did some good stuff this offseason. I don't see them becoming even an average team overnight.
Right. It's going to take some time. We actually have them with the number two chance of getting the first overall pick, which they would have to then send to Arizona.
That would be rough.
And that was before Chicago signed Yannick Ngakoue. So now they might have the number one chance of getting the first overall, which they would then have to send to Arizona, which is, you know, awful.
So I did like what James Weaver pointed out last week, which was that they had a really good pressure rate last year based on air charting, but they just didn't convert as many sacks and they didn't create as much value that way. You'd hope that with Will Anderson and with a little bit better luck, they might be able to convert more of those pressures into sacks. Even so, I'm kind of with you guys. It's hard to paint the picture of this offense being even average this year.
Yep.
All right. Simple division there. Any more time you want to spend on the Jags? You know,
let's talk about if the Jags are a serious contender. Like, do we think they get into it?
That's a good question.
I think that here's the deal, right? We know defense is less predictable than offense. So if I think the Jags have a pretty bad defense, but it's more likely that I'm wrong about them than that I'm wrong that their offense is very good. So if it turns out they have a very good offense and a mediocre defense, they absolutely could be serious Super Bowl contenders. But I think their defense will be bad.
Well, that's kind of interesting. I think their defense is good. I like a lot of the young players that they've added, and I think that I don't necessarily like trust them yet, but I do like some of the pieces that they built there. I think they can have a good pass rush. I kind of worry about them from the offensive line perspective. To me, I feel like that's the part of their team that I'm least sure about. At the end of the day, it's hard to say that they're not contenders because we kind of saw Trevor Lawrence look like he belonged in the postseason last year. But I don't know. I still want to say I think they're maybe a year early. I think that to put them in the Mahomes, Allen, Burrow conversation, I'm not quite there yet.
I agree. I just wanted to do a temperature check.
Let's go out west, where my Super Bowl favorite, for sure, shocker, is located.
I mean, it's hard to go wrong with the best offense in the league, so yeah.
Yeah, Mahomes tends to be pretty predictive, unless he gets injured.
I'll admit that there's an element in my Super Bowl pick of it would be boring to just pick Kansas City every year for the next dozen years.
Oh, it's boring, but as long as Mahomes is healthy, Andy Reid's there, and the team around him is not a complete dumpster fire, I think betting on Mahomes to at least reach the Super Bowl is a pretty strong bet, as boring as it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really boring because you get to watch Mahomes play, but it's not a particularly outside-the-box pick.
Right.
Yeah, the defense has gotten better over the last couple of years. They're solid. The offensive line is now probably a strength of the team, where it went from being the weakness a few years ago. And now it's almost like, except for Kelsey, it's almost like they're like playing a game right now of like, how crappy can our skill guys get? And Mahomes still makes them all look like Tyreek Hill, because it's kind of amazing. I think that Mahomes flips on the head the whole concept of, oh, we need great weapons for our offense. Because yes, Kelsey's an amazing, amazing weapon. But outside of that, Mahomes was only limited when they couldn't protect him. Him not having receivers that are that great, it doesn't even seem that relevant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue. I have Kansas City with the most wins in the conference.
Yeah.
And the number one offense. And there's no argument here.
Let's talk about Denver. Our model is low on Denver, has them only at 6.5. Where'd you come out on the Broncos?
7.4, which is also lower than the market. Based on the track record, you don't know what in New Orleans was Sean Payton and what wasn't. It's the same thing as I said with Vic Fangio. It's not like we have this track record where Sean Payton has joined 8 different teams and turned them all around immediately. Like he was head coach of one team that also had a great quarterback. So the idea that he's going to suddenly fix Russell Wilson is possible, but it just doesn't seem probable.
And this is not a situation like the one in Cleveland where Deshaun Watson looked bad for just 6 games after a track record of being really good. Like, Russell Wilson has not been good for 2 seasons. It wasn't just the one season in Denver last year.
He declined in 2021, and then he really declined.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is 2 years running that he's been below average. Last year was obviously a dumpster fire, but this was a 5-win team last year. I don't think Sean Payton improves them by, what, 3-4 wins?
Yeah, their Vegas number is 8.5.
Yeah, no way.
In my experience, I think one of the years I was in New Orleans, we were winning like 11 games per regular season. And yeah, I'd probably attribute like 10 of those to Sean Payton and Drew Brees. To Aaron's point, I don't know how you split between the two of those guys, but I know we were doing a lot of things that were not conducive to winning outside of those two guys. And they made a big difference.
The other issue is that they didn't have a first round pick this year. So it's not like they added an instant impact guy through the draft, because they gave a king's ransom for Russell Wilson, and they did some good stuff like signing Ben Powers. That's a good signing. But
yeah, the way they tried to shore things up front, that's as much of a reason as any why I believe that like Sean Payton could be the right person to straighten things out in front of Russell Wilson. That said, for all these reasons, I'm very excited to just watch the damn season play out, because it'll be fun one way or another. Before we go, I want to ask about the Chargers too. The Chargers are one of these teams where I can see them being in like sort of that Jaguars class, but I actually think that they do have the ceiling to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And it's mostly because I'm all in on Herbert. I think he's as awesome as they do, making him the highest paid quarterback. Where do you come on the Chargers, Aaron?
Believe it or not, if every team hits their average win projection, which by the way is impossible because it can't have 7/10 of a win. If every team hits their average win projection, the Chargers would be the first team out of the playoff. It's just, I absolutely agree with you that they are Super Bowl contenders. They're just stuck in a really tough conference. And remember, I said the top four schedules in the league were the AFC East. The Chargers have the number six schedule in the league.
Mm.
So they're good. I mean, they're really good. There's just going to be too many good teams in the AFC this year. Plus, Jacksonville has to get us. Even if Jacksonville's not that good, Jacksonville will get a spot anyway, right? Like, it's a tough conference.
Yeah. It's been a funny team, because with Staley making the change at offensive coordinator there, I'm very optimistic about the Chargers' future, but it's going to go one way or another with Kellen Moore in there and him running the show. Yeah, it's either going to work great or it's not going to work at all. Like, either the Cowboys are going to be right or the Chargers will. But then defensively also, it's kind of like, man, if that was the right, if it doesn't go well with Kellen Moore and the defense is just kind of like what it was last year, there could be a head coaching change there. So like,
just, oh yeah,
because I could see them being Super Bowl contenders. I could also see them being shopping for a head coach. So another highly volatile team there. It should be super fun to watch.
Yeah, but I will, to a fault, bet on really good quarterbacks, and all it takes for them really is for Justin Herbert to have the hot hand in the playoffs, and they can wind up in the Super Bowl. Even if they sneak in as like a wild card, because I think we agree that the Chiefs are going to win this division, there's definitely like a win path with them. Like it's very easy to see that happening. Whereas with a team like the Browns, for example, like we have to make a lot of assumptions. The defense gets better. Deshaun Watson returns to form. Like the Chargers, it's just as simple as like make the playoffs and Justin Herbert makes a win. Yeah.
All right. So I think we made it through the NFL. Aaron, you said you had the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Who would be representing the NFC for you?
I like the San Francisco 49ers, because when it comes to the playoffs, I trust Kyle Shanahan more than I trust Mike McCarthy.
Sound reasoning. Bryce, do you have your likely candidates here? Are you ready to lock in?
The NFC is harder for me. AFC, I'll continue to bank on the Chiefs making it to the Super Bowl until Patrick Mahomes retires, essentially. The NFC is tougher for me. I want to say the 49ers, but that quarterback situation is just so murky. I know that Kyle Shanahan has turned lead into gold at that position for years now. They're exceptional everywhere else on their roster. Losing to D'Amico Ryans might hurt a little bit, but that defense is still really talented. I probably begrudgingly go with the Niners, but I wish I had more confidence in that quarterback situation.
Yeah, I wish I had more confidence in it too, even though I picked them. But, you know, in Kyle, we trust, and Debo and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams.
If I was trying to be interesting, I would have failed, because I'd probably take a rematch. If you had to ask me to guess, I would take the Chiefs over the Eagles. If you wanted to force me to make it a little bit more exciting and a little bit spicier, I would throw the Cowboys in there from the NFC side. I could definitely see, talk about a team that it like win the Super Bowl or the coach is fired. I think that might be the legitimate situation for Mike McCarthy this year. And then on the AFC side, yeah, I don't get much spunkier than where we were, but maybe the Ravens, maybe just go on something like that, where maybe Lamar Jackson finally figures out a way to get them over the edge. I don't know. There's just so
that's much. You're not allowed to pick a repeater pick.
Yeah.
If your pick
was why not pick.
If I'm not allowed to pick a repeater pick is Dallas versus Baltimore.
Yeah. I think so. I think I like that better than the Chargers or the Jets or the Dolphins. Ah, these teams are close. All right. Anyway, we got to sign off and get out of here. Aaron, where can people find the Almanac and then follow your work?
Well, you can still follow me on Twitter, ashotsnfl, ashatznfl, and I should have an announcement soon about where I'm going to be this year. The Almanac is at ftnfantasy.com. Look for the picture of Patrick Mahomes on the cover, or you could get a printed copy from Amazon. Just search for FTN Football Almanac 2023.
Awesome. Well, so great to have you back, Aaron. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again soon for sure. In the meantime, for our producer, Justin Stein, and Bryce Rossler and Aaron Schatz, I'm Matt Manicharian of Sports Info Solutions, and thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Off the Charts Football Podcast.